The story of Lazarus has always been a difficult one for me, primarily because I don't see it as much as a story of the resurrection of Lazarus as I do a story of Jesus showing up late. That's an insight into my psyche, in my head. And in reality, as a workaholic perfectionist, this has always bothered me. And it's challenged me in equal parts. You see, I'm driven to be present with each person who's sick, with every person that falls, with everything that goes wrong. I'm driven to be present. A couple weeks ago, I had a rough week, and I had illness in my family and illness in the church and visitations and deaths and funerals, and I had to be many, many places at the same time. And I failed miserably because I'm never up to the task. I'm never up to the expectations that I have for myself because my expectations are too big. But this story perplexes me more because Jesus doesn't play into my expectations. Jesus finds out that Lazarus is sick, and in response, he waits 3 days to move. This is not meeting my expectations, and it probably doesn't meet yours either. You see, we all have a little bit of Veruca Salt in us. You remember Veruca from Willy Wonka? She was a spoiled girl. And in a nation of spoiled people, we feel like her. We want it now. And when we pray, we expect an immediate answer from God. And if not, that's just not good, you know, service. But therein lies our problem. Most of us think that God is there to serve us. And we get it wrong when we make that assumption. You see, God is working with us much like a parent works with a child. Or a parent, let's put it this way, should work with a child. Because a nation of spoiled people get there because we've been spoiled. We haven't challenged each other. We haven't caused people to rise up and live up to the challenge of life as it should be. Giving people what they want is not showing them love. It's actually showing laziness and an inability for us to believe that people can change and do what we can do. You see, that's where the flaw in my thinking is. I don't think there's anyone else who can do what I do. And I'm wrong. There are others who should do what I do. You see, I can't be in more than one place at one time, but the body of Christ can if you are there. When we enter into this understanding that we are not just to be given things, it helps us to know that God doesn't just love us as we are, but God wants to change who we are. You see, we believe, we've inverted what the reality is. It used to be that God was unchangeable, immutable, glorified, and we came to serve God. We came on our knees as penitents. We asked for God's mercy over and over again because we knew we weren't good enough. That's what the Mass gives to us. And it presents to us. But today, we believe that God is changeable and we are unchangeable. That we're the ones that are immutable. We won't change for anyone. And so when we don't get our way, we walk away angry. If the people who are teaching us or sharing with us or leading us don't give us our way, we protest and we quit. How dare you expect me to grow and change? To become better. The Fermatas, I'm sure, had to grow and change to learn this music. It is difficult music. This is Mozart. Okay? A little bit different than Blake Shelton, right? It's hard to pronounce. It's hard to sing. It is intricate in what it does. And it causes you to stretch yourself to do the work. It's good that you're stretched. It's good when we're changed. Worship wants to have us engage and to grow and to stretch and to be transformed. There's another aspect about the Mass here that's important for you to understand, and that's that what Jesus is doing at the tomb of Lazarus, the church is attempting to do in the Mass, to state who Jesus is. Without explanation and without apology, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. What you say, the Father hears. When we understand God as different and distinct, it allows us to move before God in a different way. It causes us to be, for lack of a better term, countercultural. Because our culture today doesn't want us to bend a knee, but wants everyone to bend to the whim of the individual. We live in a culture that demands to be heard, but refuses to listen. The Mass and the music that you've heard today asserts rather than asks. It presents, but it doesn't explain. It glorifies without deconstructing or questioning. It invites you in, but doesn't lift you or help you up. This is an important thing for us to understand. And it's an important thing for us to engage in as we present and we prepare for Holy Week. Because Holy Week is another thing that always perplexes us. We tell the same story over and over again. And for me, it's always difficult because I want to find something new in the old story. I want to make sure that you get something different. But that's not the point. The point is to tell the story. Telling the story allows the Holy Spirit to move. You see, you don't really need my explanation if we trust in the God that illuminates the truth for us. All you need to do is hear the story. But I want to give you this. You need to be prepared to hear the story in prayer and in worship. That's what worship music has always done. Prepare the heart for the hearing of the story. Because some people who saw Jesus bring Lazarus out of the tomb glorified his name. And others, after this passage that we've read, sought his death. Thomas was correct. Let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. You don't all hear the same thing or see the same thing. But God is seeking to tell the story through each of us. Over the coming weeks, you'll get a chance to hear the story. But perhaps it's time for you to tell it, to share it with your friends, and to help them to draw near to God, who seeks for us to come close and to maybe work our ear towards God, to listen before we speak.